This is the Archaeology News Weekly for the week ending 13th of November, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological and Jobs Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view the details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And once again, our thanks goes out to Simon Hollidge of www.ancienteastasia.org for his help in the pronunciation of the Chinese and Japanese words in the following stories. Now, the main headlines for around the world are as follows. Pennsylvanian hunters may now be allowed to use a prehistoric weapon once again. DNA studies show that first Europeans were hunters, not farmers. Saipan may contain the Pacific's oldest archaeological site. The earliest known rendering of the Hebrew alphabet has been claimed to have been found in Israel. A rare pottery kiln has been discovered in Mongolia. News on a solution to save Silbury Hill in England from disaster. Ancient burial mounds are unearthed in Armenia. And a database to record Jomon artifacts has been compiled in Japan. An ancient weapon that struck fear into the hearts of Spanish conquistadors and that may have been used to slay woolly mammoths in Florida may soon be again added to the arsenal available to Pennsylvanian hunters. The State Game Commission is drafting proposed regulations to allow hunters to use the atlatl, a small wooden device used to propel a 6-foot-long dart as fast as 80 miles an hour. The commission could vote to legalize its use as early as January. It's unclear which animals people using atlatls may be allowed to hunt, but the proposal is being pushed by people who wish to kill deer by using this weapon of Stone Age design. The name is derived from the Aztec word for throwing board. In Alabama, one of a handful of states that allows the use of atlatls for hunting or fishing, few hunters actually use them during the deer season, said Alan Andrus, the chief fish and game enforcement officer for the State Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Even spear hunters outnumber those using atlatls. Throwers hook arrow-like hunting darts onto a protrusion on the end of the atlatl, which is generally a wooden piece about 2 feet long. The leverage of the atlatl allows them to throw the 5 to 8 foot darts much further than they would be able to throw a spear. There is evidence that the weapons were used more than 8,000 years ago in Pennsylvania, said Kurt Carr, an archaeologist with the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission. Prehistoric atlatls have a distinctive counterweight feature called a winged banner stone that has helped to confirm their existence at Diggs and Huntington and Bucks counties. Atlatl use goes back at least 12,000 years elsewhere in North America and far longer in Europe. If the Commission gives preliminary approval in January, a final vote in April could clear the way for atlatl hunting in Pennsylvania late next year. The first farmers to arrive in Europe more than 7,000 years ago appear to have left behind a legacy of agriculture, but no descendants, a study of ancient DNA has found. Modern Europeans do not seem to have inherited the genes of the first farmers to arrive from the Near East, where they had invented agriculture some 12,000 years ago. A study of 24 skeletons of an early farming community in Central Europe has found that DNA does not match the DNA of modern men and women living in the same part of the world. The researchers believe the findings indicate that although the first farmers brought agriculture to Europe, they did not manage to displace the much older resident population of hunter-gatherers. In a paper published in the journal Science, the team concludes that modern Europeans are directly descended from the first modern humans to arrive on the continent some 40,000 years ago, when they survived on hunting game and gathering berries. How the practice of farming spread across Europe and what happened to the people who were living on the continent at the time has been a long-running debate in human prehistory. Some experts believe that the first farmers displaced the early hunter-gatherers because improvements in food supply that agriculture provided led to an explosion in the population. However, the latest study by the team from Britain, Germany and Estonia suggests that the first farmers did indeed pass on the culture of farming, but they did not contribute significantly to the overall genetic makeup of modern Europeans. And this was a surprise to the researchers, who expected the distribution of mitochondrial DNA in these early farmers to be similar to the distribution we have today in Europe. Mitochondrial DNA is passed on only from the mothers to the children, so it is possible that the latest results could still be explained by incoming farmers taking local women as their wives. The team analysed the mitochondrial DNA of 24 skeletons belonging to a culture known as Linierband Keramik from 16 locations in Germany. Austria, and Hungary. Six of these 24 skeletons contain genetic signatures that are extremely rare in modern European populations. Based on this discovery, the researchers conclude that early farmers did not leave much of a genetic mark on modern European populations. The Linear Band Karamik were the first farmers known to occupy Central Europe, notably the area of modern-day Hungary and Slovakia, about 7,500 years ago. Within the following 500 years, agriculture had spread west to France and east to Ukraine. The archaeological evidence suggests that the agriculture was introduced into Greece and southeast Europe from the Near East more than 8,000 years ago, and then spread north and west towards the Atlantic. One possible scenario is that a small pioneer group of farmers moved into an area occupied by hunter-gatherers who quickly changed their lifestyle once they saw the benefits of growing their own crops. Alternatively, a different population may have replaced the early farmers, but the archaeological evidence for such a mass and rapid displacement is scant. Terry Brown, a geneticist from the University of Manchester in the UK, calls the conclusions a little bit tenuous. Brown points out that the study examines events only in one geographic region, and during the 3,000 years in which agriculture spread into Europe, many different things were happening. In some areas, hunter-gatherers probably picked up farming quickly. In others, farmers may have overrun the locals. Brown feels that you cannot generalise. Researchers on both sides say the debate could be clarified by data from bones of hunter-gatherers, but viable DNA from such bones is in very short supply. Sediment cores taken from Saipan's Lake Sosope in 2002 have yielded a continual record of plant pollen and other materials for the past 8,000 years that could make the island one of the oldest archaeological sites in the Pacific, according to the Historic Preservation Office. Scientists who have been working within the Commonwealth of North Mariana Islands recently announced new evidence that could push the date back for the earliest human settlement in Micronesia back to nearly 5,000 years ago. Researchers J. Stephen Athens and Jerome Ward of the International Archaeological Research Institute noted a series of abrupt shifts in Saipan's ancient environment, some of which appeared to have been caused by humans. Charcoal particles and an abundance of grass pollen and pollens from betel nut palm and coconut trees that appeared around 6860 BCE were also analysed. The discovery predates the earliest archaeological sites on Saipan by more than 1,000 years. Dr. Richard Necht, acting staff archaeologist, said that the recent findings suggest that sites 5,000 years or older exist on Saipan. The challenge now is to use what we know about ancient shorelines, which we will likely reveal more early sites and probably the first movement of early humans into the Pacific from Asia. It probably took years of human activity to alter the environment to the point where it leaves a signature in the sediment cores. Therefore, the actual dates of initial human settlement could be decades, even centuries before those taken from the cores. The earliest sites in the Commonwealth of North Mariana Islands are Saipan's Unai Achugo site from 1800 BC and Tianan's Unai Chulu site dating to 1500 BC. The Historic Preservation Office's search to find the earliest site in the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands will continue as long as funding is available. It seems safe to assume that their ancestors were on these islands at least 5,000 years ago now. On the last day of his 2005 archaeological dig at Tel Zayit, about 50 kilometres south of Tel Aviv in Israel, Ronald Tappy was photographing his site when a supervisor asked him to look at some scratches that a college volunteer had found on a stone. When he saw the stone, early morning light fell so perfectly across its face that he could make out faint letters. They had been unnoticed earlier because they disappear in the sun's glare. It had turned out to be an alphabet. You could say this was Solomon's alphabet, he said. Dr. Tappy and his colleagues believe that the 30-pound stone holds the ancestor of all alphabets. Dr. Tappy is studying the stone with Kyle MacArthur, a renowned expert on ancient Near Eastern writings from Johns Hopkins University, and directors of the Western Semitic Research Project at University of Southern California. Because it was sealed in a layer of debris caused by a fire, roughly between 925 and 900 BCE, he knew it could have been written no later than that time. Some scholars argue that biblical accounts of King David and King Solomon were invented centuries later. These scholars claim that 10th century Judeans were illiterate, but this stone shows that they could have recorded their own history. One other purported 10th century BCE inscription surfaced in 1908, but it is not from a proper archaeological excavation. Phoenicians who lived on the coast developed an alphabet which Greeks and Romans later adapted. The ruins at Tel Zayit stone was found to reflect an inland culture of Jerusalem, much more than the Phoenician coastal culture, said Dr. Tappy. This is a site from the outskirts of a 10th century kingdom that was establishing itself exactly at the same time in Jerusalem. This is the time of the Solomonic Kingdom in Jerusalem. The fact that you can go to its western extreme, to its most remote part, and still find literacy at the very beginning of its development, says a great deal about the sophistication of this early state. William Dever, a professor emeritus from the University of Arizona, said that the finding is significant because it involves a subject of intense debate among scholars, whether the ancient Israelites were literate, and, by extension, whether Hebrew scriptures found in the modern Bible were written down or passed on by word of mouth. All successive alphabets in the ancient world, including the Greek one, derive from this ancestor at Tel Zayit, remarked Dr. Tappy. Skeptical scholars who have viewed photos of the tablet have disagreed, though, saying it's unclear if the language is Phoenician, Hebrew, or a blend of both. The findings will be discussed at a conference held by the Society of Biblical Literature, which begins on November the 19th in Philadelphia. Chinese archaeologists have discovered an ancient pottery kiln dating back about 3,500 years in Chorfeng, a city in North China's Inner Mongolia Autonomous Region. This is the first time a pottery kiln belonging to the lower Xiajia Dian culture has been found in China, said Professor Zhu Hung, director of the Research Center for Chinese Frontier Archaeology of Jilin University in northeast China. The kiln is 1.37 meters in diameter and 0.56 meters high, with a fire pit 2.32 meters long. The discovery of the kiln shows that the lower Xiajia Dian culture in North China had been influenced by the culture from the Central Plain area in China. Canister-shaped pots, the most distinctive of containers, which had been used in the region before, were replaced by three-legged containers such as Ding and Li tripods, which were traditional forms in the Central Plain. The lower Xiajia Dian culture, a branch of the Northern Bronze culture, during the Xia and Shang dynasties, dates back 3,500 to 4,000 years ago, between the late Neolithic Age and Bronze Ages. The discovery is of great significance in research on the formation and development of pottery kilns in Liaoxi district in prehistoric times. The earliest pottery kiln found in China belongs to the Hongshan culture, dating back 5,000 years. Two pottery kilns in this period have also been unearthed at the site. Thousands of tourists who have viewed Silbury Hill in England over the last 4.5 years have probably been unaware of the crisis over its long-term stability. From the ground, the huge grass mound looks very much the same as it has in recent centuries, but the hill is now desperately fragile and, like a giant Gruyere cheese, it is full of excavation tunnels and shafts that experts fear could collapse. In May 2000, it was revealed that a 225-year-old vertical shaft dug by treasure seekers in 1776 had started to collapse. It's likely the miners, who were paid to fill in the 130-feet deep shaft, simply poked branches in a few feet down from the top to support an earth plug. 5 years ago, the plug gave way, opening up the shaft and exposing a huge hole 8 feet square. Within days, the shaft funneling and the sides of the hill collapsed inwards. English Heritage responded by initially placing a temporary canopy over the hole, then temporarily plugging with polystyrene topped with soil. Several engineers, Cementation Skanska, recently carried out seismic survey and revealed a series of unfilled tunnels and collapsed excavations. Since 2001, the hill has remained packed with polystyrene, awaiting for a long-term solution. English Heritage now wants to discuss some of the conservation options that have been put forward over the last 5 years. The purpose of the meeting on November the 26th is to consult on preferred options for conserving the monument, which forms part of the Avebury World Heritage Site. A spokesman said that it was proposed that the final option chosen would also allow further investigation to find out more about the hill and its origins. He said that the preferred option is to re-enter Silbury Hill via the tunnel dig to its centre in 1968 and then remove the existing collapse and inadequate backfill in the tunnel before properly filling it in. The tunnel and the other voids within the hill could be then filled with chalk to the same density as the surrounding mound material. The work of backfilling would take place backwards from the centre of the hill and enable contractors to remove any temporary supports left after the previous excavations. The work would be accompanied by a thorough archaeological investigation to record all parts of the hill as they were exposed and to help learn more about how the hill was built. Monitors would then be installed to keep a check on how the new chalk infill was settling in. Before the work can go ahead, English Heritage is planning a full consultation with all interested groups ranging from architects and historians to the locals. Admission to the meeting, which will be held at 11 a.m. on November the 26th in Devizes Corn Exchange, will be by ticket only. Applications for tickets for this meeting can be made to Beverly Ballon on 0117 975 0703. That was 0117 975 0703. Archaeologists have unearthed in Armenia burial mounds dating back to the 3rd millennium BCE, which they believe contain remains and jewels from the ancient Aryan nomads. Historian Jacob Simeon said that the four mounds were among 30 discovered about 56 kilometres west of the Armenian capital Yerevan, containing beads made of agate and carnelian, as well as the remains of what appears to be a man, aged between 50 and 55, also found with the remains of domesticated horses, glazed pottery appearing to show chariots. The Aryans, who later became known as Persians, were largely grassland nomads who settled in what is today Iran and eventually in parts of India. They are an archaeologist's dream come true and a telling glimpse into prehistoric life. But the ancient Sanai Maruyama ruins are providing so many relics that researchers are having trouble storing them. Researchers have been excavating the Jomon pottery culture around 8000 BCE to 300 BCE since 1992. Items unearthed include clay pots and ornaments, stone tools and other remnants of what is thought to be huge pit dwellings. They are presently stored in 23,500 plastic cases at 8 facilities in the Aomori city and Rokasho village. But while the perfect lines of stacked boxes that fill the prefabricated storage facilities may look organised, local officials say that this is far from the truth. Even though the dig is now in its second decade, no database exists. Not one of the items can be located. Researchers must rely upon their memory when they need to pinpoint a particular item. There are no lists, inventories or anything. The Aomori Prefecture Museum stores and displays 1,958 items that were designated in 2003 as important cultural property, but all the other artefacts are kept in the warehouses. Museum staff complain that locating certain pieces is time-consuming and jeopardising the academic side of the project. Most of the items were excavated between 1992 and 1994. Because of the sheer volume, researchers felt that their priority should beyond preserving the artefacts. Thus, little thought was given to keeping a detailed record of the finds, but that is about to change. When the Education Board started making inquiries about the items it needed to photograph for its annual Sanai Maruyama report, it was told quite simply that there was no guarantee the pieces could be found in time. The Aomori Prefectural Government then set aside a proportion of its budget to set up a database project, which will cost 1.85 million yen, or around £10,000. By the end of the year, officials say, all the cultural treasures will be recorded on a searchable database. The database will allow us to easily draw up a plan for a search and to share information, even after those in charge of each project has moved on, said Takashi Saito, a cultural properties protection official. New archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as an improved UK heritage calendar and a guidance library section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.